tune out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday the 14th of April 2026 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, yesterday we were looking at subversion and manipulation and election meddling over there in Hungary with the unfortunate loss of Viktor Orban in that country's election. And today we're going to look at something similar over here in Britain. And the headline of this article, and it comes from GB News, is Teachers Union votes to oppose far-right Reform UK in classrooms and introduces anti-fascist training sessions for its members. And this is how common sense can be subverted effectively, because common sense says to you that you should support your own group, and the politicians that you want to be in power are the politicians that say their loyalty is to your particular people group, ethno-nationalists, essentially. And yet people don't do that. They go against their common sense. They go against voting for the politician that says he's going to do their best for their group. And they support the people on the left who accuse ethno-nationalists of being fascists. And Reform are civic nationalists. They're not ethno-nationalists. They're civic nationalists. They're multicultural. And yet they're still seen as far right. And what you have here is a teachers' union, which means that every one of our children has a teacher. They go to school. The teacher will be a member of this union. And it's saying that they're not just teaching the children in an objective, non-partisan fashion, but they are openly subverting the democratic process by teaching the children to reject a political party, by teaching them to reject Reform UK. They're accusing them of being far right, insulting them. They're accusing them of being fascists, and they're training their members in anti-fascist training sessions, and that's because they see Reform UK as being fascist. Don't forget, we're told that the worst possible thing you can be is a fascist or a Nazi. The teachers are voting to say that they believe that Reform UK are fascists, and they have to have special training in fighting against them. And then they will pass that on to our children. And this is how you end up brainwashing an entire group of people into going against their own interests. This is the way that you do it. They get at the children. The children grow up. They're taught that their parents are old racists, and they don't know what they're talking about, and to reject what their parents want as well. And they even say that young people, if you're not a supporter of the left wing by the age of 20, you've got no heart. And if you're not a supporter of the right wing by the time you're 40, then you've got no brain, effectively, is what they say. And part of that is because it's promoted to children. Left-wing ideas are promoted to children. And what we have here is the union that all of these teachers belong to confirming this. And also, we have a blatant link with politics as well. And the article starts off by saying Green Party leader Zach Polanski was met with a standing ovation at the recent National Education Union conference. So, I mean, this is just extremely partisan, isn't it? It's saying, look, we prefer this one political party. We prefer this one brand of politics. We're going to educate or indoctrinate our members into how to fight against all other political parties, and then you're going to give your children to us to teach in the school. I mean, I'm quite stunned, really, that this can actually go on, that teachers' unions can have a guest of honour that is the leader of a left-wing political party. Surely they shouldn't be biased in any way politically, but they are, and they're now quite open about it. The largest teaching union in the United Kingdom has passed a motion to combat far-right Reform UK in classrooms. Again, so it's not saying on a personal scale at the school I'm completely objective, but when I get out of school I go along to protests against Reform UK, or I send messages on Twitter to go against them, or I hand out leaflets. But they're doing this in classrooms. You're propagandising the children not to support Reform UK. They're probably telling them that if their parents support this, then their parents are far-right fascists, aren't they, effectively? And yet these teachers swear to, when they look after these children, they're saying there will be a surrogate parent, and the parents trust the teachers not to make any decisions or say anything that the parents would not support. Or what about the large number of parents that actually support Reform UK? Do you think they would be happy about their children being taught that the political organisation that their parents support is far-right and fascist? And this breaks the compact that there is between parents and teachers as well. As well as going against this idea that education is supposed to be politically neutral, and it's not supposed to show support for any of these political parties. And this is blatant and obvious, and they're just open about doing this, and it's accepted. The National Education Union committed the union to distribute anti-racist teaching materials at its recent annual conference in Brighton. What does anti-racist teaching materials mean? Well, you can only a white man can be racist, can't he? So that's effectively saying, well, it's anti-white teaching materials. And that's what anti-racist means. It's just a code word for anti-white. It's only white people that can ever get accused of being racist. It's just not possible, apparently, for a black person to be racist, even if they're using racial slurs against white people. Not possible for Muslims to be racist when these predominantly Pakistani grooming gangs are raping young white girls. That can't be racism because they're Muslims, they're not white. But pretty much anything that white people say that is speaking up for their own interests, well, that's going to be accused of being racist, isn't it? Even though it's the same thing as all these other groups do. I mean, they have community representation, they have community leaders, they talk about things that are going to be in their benefit, and as soon as a white man starts doing that, he's going to be accused of being racist, and he's going to be accused of being a Nazi, in the same way that Patriotic Alternative are accused of being neo-Nazis, just for speaking up for the interests of white people. Why shouldn't white people be able to do that? Why have we got this one racial group that is not allowed to campaign in its own interests in its own countries? It's just incredible that this has happened to us effectively since the Second World War. Perhaps it's not that incredible when you look at the history of it and look at what went on in the Second World War. Well, whether we like it or not, that's the situation that we are now in. Delegates also passed a motion to lobby to overturn a ban on the Palestine Action Group. So what they're effectively saying there is that these teachers, they support a banned terrorist organisation as well, and they're being quite open about that. NEU chief Daniel Kabedi argued the union bloc at the protest needs to be huge, with workers front and centre saying that they are opposed to the far right. And I assume they're talking about this big protest that they had, this big left-wing protest that they recently had down there in London, where they had people dressed in bondage gear dancing on a stage with Zach Polensky and all these violent slogans about smashing the far right and smashing Nazis, all that sort of stuff that I was talking about the other week. You know, the left wing is just surrounded by violence, and they're just all about opposing their political opponents. They're never about actually providing solutions. So they're saying there needs to be a huge resistance effectively against Reform UK, who they are claiming are fascist. And I mean, I would say, in a way, the fact that they are saying that Reform UK are this big problem, they don't mention Restore at all. They don't want to give any publicity to Restore. They want the general public to think that their only option is the Green Party and Labour, or vote for Reform, because they know that Restore are genuine ethno-nationalists. So they will actually put the British people first rather than putting other people's needs first. And these teaching unions, they would rather have civic nationalists than ethno-nationalists. So even when they're attacking the civic nationalists, what they're actually doing, they're still giving oxygen to the civic nationalists. They're depriving the ethno-nationalists of oxygen. Mr. Gabelli said that those in power have been using racism to feather their own nests, as he criticised Sir Keir Starmer's comments around immigration, making reference to an island of strangers in a controversial speech against immigration. That was an interesting speech, because he did use language that was reminiscent of Enoch Powell's language. And I find it hard to believe that he didn't pick up on this, because it's very well recognised language. I'm sure he must have heard Enoch Powell's speech or read Enoch Powell's speech. So did he actually read the speech that was put in front of him by speechwriters before reading it? It sort of implies that he didn't. And who were the speechwriters that were putting that in there? I mean, it was the most sensible thing that Sir Keir Starmer has ever said. Of course, he turned his back on it pretty much straight away and said that it wasn't written by him and he didn't actually mean this. But that's what multiculturalism means. It means a state full of strangers, doesn't it? It means different cultures, strangers, effectively. He said, what we've seen in the age of Trump in particular is those in power using racism to feather their own nests, whether it's Donald Trump or whether it's Nigel Farage. But I do find it quite funny that he's claiming that Keir Starmer is using racism to feather his own nest. He continued, what's even worse is we've seen the Prime Minister, instead of taking it on, tail-ending it with the island of strangers nonsense that he peddled last year. He added, the toxic climate that is taking place in society festers into schools. We are seeing an increase in racist incidents, whether that is directed towards teachers and support staff or pupil on pupil. So it's incredibly difficult at the moment. Well, I guess the increase in racist incidents, it couldn't possibly have anything to do with the increase in minorities within schools, ethnic minorities within schools. I think in schools, white British pupils only make up 56% of the population in the classroom. 44% are non-white. Of course you're going to get more racist incidents. The more non-whites that you have, the more chance there is for racism to take place, isn't it? The only state that you could actually have where there would be no racism whatsoever would be an ethno state. If you want to eliminate racism, then have an ethno state, have a 100% ethno state. Racism just cannot exist. It's not possible for it to exist. There's nobody there that could possibly ever say that they were discriminated against, is there? I mean, that's the way to get rid of racism. You know, you don't have it if you have segregation. It's impossible for there to be any victims of racism. This is what's so nonsensical about these left-wing arguments to say that there's been a huge increase in racism. Well, there's been a huge increase in non-white pupils, hasn't there? That's why there's been an increase in racism. Michael Holland, who works at a school in South London, told Socialist Worker, we have the power to stop the far right, but it is about organisation. We have our unions and we need to get them organised so we can prove that we are the majority. And again, effectively what they do is they force their views onto the children. They indoctrinate the children so that when the children get a little bit older, they're all going to vote for the left. And I think the Labour Party have brought the age for voting down to 16 as well, because they know that children around about that age, they will be completely indoctrinated into left-wing ideas. They'll be told that anybody on the right is a fascist and a Nazi. and you can pretty much predict with a great degree of accuracy that anybody at age 16 is going to vote for left-wing parties. I mean, that's the reason for lowering the vote. It's not because they think that young people should, or young teenagers should have a say in things, because they're so well informed on what's going on, because they're not informed at all. The only information they've been given, or the vast majority of the information they've been given, comes from their school teachers. It doesn't actually come from any life experience. So they're not qualified in any way to vote. They don't have the life experience, but what they do have is 10 years or 12 years of political indoctrination by these teachers, who are quite open about their political leanings, as we see here. Reacting to the news, Reform's education spokesman Suella Braverman said the National Education Union has shown its true colours. Its agenda is political, biased and partisan, and that is what it wants its members, many of them teaching in our schools, to teach our children. And that's it. That's exactly what's going on here. They want to indoctrinate the children, and it's very obvious that that's what they're doing. They're making no bones about it. They're not trying to hide it in any way, which I guess is the only positive thing you can say about this is, well, at least they're being honest. They have Zach Polanski there, the head of the Green Party. They're talking about how much they hate the far right and how they want to get rid of it. At least it's not all being done in secret. They're not pretending to be objective and apolitical in public, whilst in private they're doing all of this. At least they are being open about it. So that is one positive thing I can say about them. At least they're being honest about it. Suella Braverman continued, Britain's schools should be about education, not ideology. It is painful to see what is happening. I agree, it's very painful. It's quite distressing to learn that this is what goes on, and this is what's most important to the teachers. And you think you've got a teaching union there, you would think what they'd be concerned about is teaching and teaching standards. But no, the most important thing to them is how to indoctrinate the children politically. That's the most important thing to them. Reform UK stands with hardworking teachers and parents who love Britain and want our schools to be free from political dogma. We speak for the silent majority, not the militant NEU chiefs. Speaking at the conference was Green Party leader Zach Polanski, who said education is key to opposing the far right. See, the left understand this. They understand that over the last 70 years, they've had what they call the long march through the institutions. Basically, they went through the institutions, took all the institutions over. Once they get into these important positions, then they can impose their far-left ideas on that organisation. And because you have people that go through a college, and college is no different to the schools. I mean, these are school teachers, but college and university, that's been the same. It's all full of left-wing professors. And they teach the next generation. They inculcate them with their left-wing ideas when they leave the university with their degrees and their PhDs, and they get these top-quality jobs. They've been indoctrinated with all these left-wing ideas, and they impose the left-wing ideas on their organisation. And this is the way that it works. I'm sure there is a quote somewhere about give me a child when he's 5 years old, and by the time he's 15, he'll be doing exactly as I say, or will be exactly like me, or whatever, or they'll be able to mould him. They said, give us a child and you can mould the adult, effectively. Which is, I mean, this is one of the reasons why we have schools, is so that children at the time when they're, or individuals, when they're at the time when they're most able to absorb information and learn information, that we give them all this information. But we're not just giving them information, we're giving them indoctrination. We're telling them who it is that they should be voting for, who it is that they should be liking. And they're being given a completely partisan view. They're not being told the benefits of people on the right. They're just being told that the people on the right, that leads to fascism. They actually are fascists. Mr. Polanski said so much of the dissatisfaction, the tension, the conflict we are seeing in this country is a result of political and economic system that has stretched communities to breaking point. And I agree with him there, and told people time and time again not to bother imagining any different, that there is no alternative, that things can get better. And I agree with that whole paragraph. I mean, that is what we say. We say that it's the system itself. The system is anti-white And that is what causes these problems. It's not the immigrants causing the problems. It's the system that we've created. It's our politicians that create these policies that allow these awful things to happen to us. So he's pretty much saying the same thing there, but he's not linking it to being anti-white. He thinks the solution is more multiculturalism, more LGBTQ, all of these things that the state have put in place, which actually cause harm to our people group. He continued, "I know every day you are seeing children come in tired, hungry, unable to concentrate and unable to learn because they haven't eaten or been able to sleep. Kids missing school because they can't afford the bus fare. It is disgusting. It should disgust us all." Again, I agree with all that. It does disgust me that things like that can happen, a situation like that can happen. But one of the problems with his solution for this is that it's not ethno-specific. If you just had one ethnic group, you wouldn't have these problems because everybody would see each other as part of an extended family and they would be taught that they're all part of an extended family. And if you saw somebody that needed help, you would help them. And if there were kids that were missing meals, you would put policies in place in order to feed them. And you wouldn't have people that are swinging the lid because it was one group. You would want to do what's best for your group. It even says in the Bible, cast your bread upon the waters that it may come back to you. Well, if you live in a multicultural system and you cast your bread upon the waters, it's not going to come back to you, is it? It's going to go off in remittances to wherever it is that this other people group came from. And this is the problem with internationalism and with multiculturalism. You end up with this problem here. Kids haven't eaten, haven't been able to sleep. They're living in poverty. They can say particularly black families, say, are more likely to be in poverty, but they've got a lower IQ, so they're less likely to be able to do high-powered jobs or if they're able to do any jobs at all. So what you're saying then, to help them out, we'll take the money from the people with a higher IQ who are able to work and do these high-powered jobs, and we'll give those funds to the people that aren't able to do these jobs. And what does that do? Well, it just creates more people that are unable to do their own jobs then, doesn't it? Because the people that have a low IQ and aren't really capable of looking after themselves, they can have more children, can't they, to replace themselves, because they're not being forced to stand on their own two feet. They're not being forced to provide for the children themselves. It's all being done by the white man. I mean, this is the reason why international communism doesn't work. Socialism works if it's restricted to one ethnic group. This is what you have in China. You have socialism with Chinese characteristics. That's specifically what they call it. It's social nationalism, or national socialism, if you prefer. I mean, nationalism is looking out for your own group. You can't possibly look out for every group in society. And if you are looking out for every group in society, then you're neglecting to be looking out for your own group, because you're spending all your time looking after the interests of these other groups. Who is going to look after the interests of your group if you are putting the interests of these other groups as more important? Nobody's going to look after your group, are they, if you're looking out for somebody else? It's like saying, well, who's going to provide for your family if all you're interested in is providing for all the families up the street? Nobody's going to be looking out for your family, are they? This is the problem. This is the difference between internationalism and nationalism. So Zach Polanski here, I mean, he identifies problems, but these problems have come about because of multiculturalism, because of internationalism. And his solution to this is more of the same. The Green Party leader and London Assembly member received a standing ovation from delegates at the end of his speech. Also speaking on Monday, NEU President Ed Harlow criticised misogynistic content peddled to young boys by some influencers and far-right narratives that encourage negative views of migrants. Mr. Harlow told delegates, "Boys are exposed to the influences of the manosphere, peddling a sick, toxic interpretation of masculinity rooted in extreme misogyny, incel culture and monetary greed." And the manosphere is concerning to me. It seems like it's the male equivalent of feminism. It's not telling boys what masculinity is. It's telling boys that women are to blame for all of their problems. And women aren't to blame for our problems. Women wouldn't have been able to create these problems if we hadn't allowed them to in the first place. If we'd stuck to traditional gender roles, and provide it for the women, then we wouldn't have this problem. But we didn't. We said, oh, yes, you can vote. Oh, yes, you can come into work. We'll put policies in place to hobble ourselves in order to make life more equal for you. And what do you end up with? You end up with women that are probably the most depressed women, most depressed females that we've ever had, because they now have to go out to work just as much as the men have to go out to work, and they can't afford to raise their children, so we're not actually having any children, because you've got to have somebody at home to look after the children while somebody else works, and it's caused the halving of the wages as well. So there is genuine concerns about this. I recommend people look at Mark Collette's criticism of the Manosphere. The other day he did a review of I forget his name, the documentary maker, Louis Theroux. He did a critique of Louis Theroux's Manosphere. And the people that were on there, these Manosphere people, they're just there to rip off their supporters. I mean, I saw an advert for one of these groups, and on the one hand it was saying it was against pornography, and then on the other hand it was saying, come and join us and we'll introduce you to OnlyFans girls. It was literally just trying to rip off their supporters. I mean, how can you do the one thing whilst promoting the other? It's ridiculous. It's a big scam. And to me, it seemed to be just reinforcing these negative stereotypes of men, same as what feminism does, really. It claims all men are oppressors. So I would advise people to steer clear of the Manosphere. Get involved in nationalism. This NEU president, he continued, we must reach into those communities where the far right organise and say loud and clear that migrants are not to blame. Muslims are not to blame. Trans people are not to blame. People are right to be angry, but we should never punch down. And this is a complete straw man. You know, nationalists don't say that migrants are to blame. We don't say Muslims are to blame. We say the government is to blame for making these policies. It's the government that makes the immigration policy. Not Muslims over the other side of the world. It's our government, our own government, our own people that make the immigration policy that results in multiculturalism and all the problems that multiculturalism causes. And again, it's not trans people that are to blame. It's our government for its pro-trans policies. But this is what the left does, you see. It creates a straw man and it pretends that people, nationalists, just hate other people because of the colour of their skin. We don't hate anybody. We love our own people, and we campaign against policies that our governments make which harm our own people. And this here where he says people are right to be angry, but we should never punch down. Interesting that he says we should never punch them, because I'm sure he supports this smash the far right ideology and punch a Nazi. What he means by we should never punch down means that he doesn't want to see any criticism of these policies, because when people critique the policy, he will pretend that they're actually critiquing the person. So if you're against immigration policy, what he will say is, oh, you're just picking on the migrants and they don't have as much as you. This is important, why we make that distinction, that we're not actually criticising the people, we're criticising the policy, and we're criticising the people that put the policy in place. They're the ones that are to blame, not some poor African who's just tried to make his way to Britain because he knows it's a free lunch, basically, thinks the streets are paved with gold. It's not his fault that this is going on. It's our government's fault for allowing him in and encouraging him to believe that he will be allowed in and that the streets will be paved with gold. Asked by his reporters about his views on a social media ban for under-16s, a policy which has been supported by the NEU, Mr. Polanski did not call for a blanket ban. He said it is important young people are not accessing content that is age inappropriate or damaging to their well-being, and that he would support more regulation of social media platforms. Well, of course, he's bound to support censorship, I should imagine, of people with opposing views to his own, but I can't say for certain on that. I don't know what the Green Party, I don't know what the Green Party's policies are on freedom of speech. The government is currently consulting on measures to protect young people online, which could include an Australia-style total ban on social media for under-16s, or measures such as time limits and curfews. And I do think it's a good idea to not allow social media for under 16s. But I think the problem now is that the genie's out of the bottle. Very difficult to get the genie back in the bottle once you have opened the bottle. What we need to have is policies to limit this. We really need policies to limit mobile phone use by adults, particularly young mothers. And it's very important for a child to be able to have eye contact with its mother, for a baby to be able to have eye contact with its mother. And a lot of the time we don't have that anymore because the mother is constantly playing around on her phone. And there are studies that have been done to show that this could be very damaging to a child. So it's not just youngsters that are having problems with the internet. I think we're, you know, it could be one of the reasons why we have so much autism and so many Asperger's and all sorts of other sort of developmental problems. And a lot of it could be down to the fact that the parents are using these online devices all the time instead of devoting their time to the child. If you think before we had the internet, before we had these smartphones, 100% of a mother's time was devoted to the child. Whatever the mother was doing, the child would do as well. Or whatever the child was doing, the mother would do as well. But now you have this smartphone there. Child can't interact with that while a parent is doing that. That's not something they can both do together. That's not cooking together, is it? That's not drawing together. That's the mother's attention being taken up by this device. And that means that the child is being neglected for that amount of time. So I think that is quite a big problem. But what can we do about it? And this idea of banning social media for under 16-year-olds, it's, as I say, it's letting the cat's out of the bag already, isn't it? The genie is already out of the bottle. The other problem that you have is, because everything is computerized, you want children to have a good knowledge of how to use a computer and how to type and how to execute commands and all the digitized things that we need. And if you prevent them from doing that from a young age, then they're not going to be any good at it when they get older. And when they get older, they're going to need to find employment. So this is a sort of a catch-22. You want children to be digitally literate, but at the same time, you don't want to expose them to all these dangerous things that we have online. Unfortunately, it's already been done. You can't cry over spilt milk. You can't shut the door after the horse has bolted. It's already gone. We have to come up with some new way of dealing with these problems. And of course, everybody's concerned about it, which is why the government was able to get away with its online safety bill, which was basically about censoring people on the right and censoring nationalists. That people hear about it and they think, oh, well, that's to protect children. Everybody wants to protect children. The bill wasn't about protecting children. The bill was about how to censor people who criticize the government in a completely legal manner that aren't even breaking the law. And then the government can go to the social media company and tell them that they have to remove it or they'll be given a massive fine. State censorship. That's what that was about, not protecting children. Anyway, this is really rather concerning that education is so obviously politically partisan, and they're quite open about wanting to indoctrinate our children. I always thought that the education system was supposed to be politically neutral, but apparently this is completely okay, and it's completely okay to have Zach Polanski, the leader of the Green Party, being the guest of honour at this teaching Union's annual conference. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.